Welcome to MIR News Now, the podcast for Henry Ford College's student newspaper, The MIR News. I'm Catherine Warren, Editor-in-Chief. I'm excited to bring to you an in-depth conversation on the future of animation, where we examine animation from popular TV shows to blockbuster films. Our guests are Creative Editor of The MIR News, Kiana Freeman, MIR News Reporter, Ali Sablini, and MIR News Graphic Artist and Illustrator, Tiara Stamps. My name is Catherine Warden. We are here with the MIR News talking about the future of animation. And today we have with us
Tiara,
Kiana,
and Ali.
Today we're going to be talking about the differences that are between Western and Eastern's reception of not only animation, but their production levels of it, the quality, and how the audiences really react to it, and where all of this may be heading.
Well, for me, I've always been interested in animation because it's just where I grew up, that was the only thing I could really do safely. So it was something that both me and my sister, because she would always play video games, and because of video games, I got into like anime and then into just regular like cartoons. So it's kind of like the reverse for me. Instead of being like cartoons, then anime, and that retrospect. So it's just always been like a comfort for me.
Yeah, same here. I mean, most of my childhood, I grew up watching animated cartoons, especially the Western kind. I grew up watching Cartoon Network, especially, and
yeah,
you've got a lot of Western animation there, and even some Eastern, notably Pokemon. I used to watch on every Saturday morning, wake up at 8, and I'd just be waiting for that episode. And it was really, you know, something about animation, especially Eastern animation, it conveys like that emotion. Mm-hmm. That sometimes acting, they might not be able to get down as well.
Same. I grew up watching Disney. You know, that's the first animation like style I watched. And then at one point, I was watching Cartoon Network 2 and Adult Swim. Mm. And when that one day when Spirit Away came on, it opened my eyes to the whole world of animation. Like, Eastern animation, and I've been hooked on it ever since. It's my love and joy.
So for me personally, I probably had a lot of the similar backgrounds of watching Disney, being interested in video games, but for getting into anime, I remember watching the, God, this is going to age me, but watching Toonami.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Back when Toonami would come on at like 7 p.m., yes. Line up with like Dragon Ball Z,
yeah. Naruto,
This was before Naruto, and this was before One Piece. I was watching like the original, maybe not quite the full run of the original Dragon Ball Z.
I forgot Dragon Ball Z was in the 80s.
Yeah, but it came into America
mid
90s into early 2000s. Yeah. So original runs of Dragon Ball Z, Inuyasha.
Oh my god!
Original like airings of Pokemon. All the things that like made a generation. I remember watching on Toonami because it was the only place you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then G4 would bring it
on. I remember
on.
G4 too.
So I remember like the old school, and I know that dates me quite a few years, but I remember seeing those, and, you know, you would see animation from Canada. You would see...
Oh, yeah. Canada's animation, man.
I love Canada. I don't know. Personally, like, one of my favorite was actually one of the first CGI, full CGI animated shows, which was Reboot, which is, like, this wholesome thing. From that, let's go ahead and maybe start to discuss what maybe the differences are, how, you know, Western cultures handle it versus Eastern, and all the in-betweens.
I do have something to say about that. I was just looking this up because I always heard the quote, like, animation is a medium, not a genre, but and I think that's the perfect representation of the East and the West, where in the East, animation is treated as a medium to tell a story, but in the West, it's treated as a genre, in particular for kids. Now, let's just point the big mouse in the room, Disney has Disney has a big part to play in how we view animation. And while we can't agree that, especially in the older times, back in especially early 2000s, 90s, Disney did have a way to not adultify it. Oh,
don't mind me. I'm just
I was born
old.
In the 90s. I was born in the 90s too. Wait, hold on. I was born in the 90s.
97.
Oh, I was 99.
Okay.
I'm way too young. I'm way too 2005.
Oh,
I'm really young.
I'll be the white elephant in the room. I am 94.
Oh, that's not that bad.
You say that, but you guys are talking about in the old days.
I thought you were going to say 1970.
Right? Ouch. Glad to know that I look that wrinkled.
No, you don't. But, what was I about to say? Oh, there will always be these hidden jokes for adults and or just its themes too.
Oh yeah.
What was this one of the movies? But I know either Disney or a studio like Disney focused on a lot of anti-war movies too.
Oh,
that were
yeah.
geared towards kids but had super violent.
That, Disney did quite a few of that.
Yeah.
A famous one would be the Donald Duck hit or Nazi Germany one.
Yeah.
Where it was Donald Duck having a nightmare about being in Nazi Germany, being, a German soldier during that time period, and is famous and is hard-hitting.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you have actually watched that one, but watching it is just shocking and eye-opening and terrifying.
I've seen snippets through World War II documentaries of how they would recruit soldiers, so yeah.
You know, on that note, I think Looney Tunes also does something similar.
They do.
There was literally an episode, wasn't there, with Daffy Duck and something to do with Nazis. So.
Oh, yeah.
They try. I mean, it looks like a kid's show, but they convey these adult ideas.
Yeah. Oh, no. Looney Tunes was incredibly progressive in
Definitely.
What it was doing. Even, we all make fun of, Bugs Bunny in a dress, but, back then, that was something taboo of all taboos,
mm-hmm.
where it's this is risque.
Yeah.
This is, they're hitting each other with hammers and frying pans and all this stuff. But the most risque thing they could have done was Bugs Bunny in a dress.
I find that interesting because that's in a lot of kids' TV shows where pure violence is pretty much cool. But as soon as you get to more sexual, not really sexual, but romantic themes, that's when it's a little taboo, especially when it's not heteronormative.
Yes. Well, and the weird thing is that's for Western culture.
Yeah.
But Eastern culture, it's a little bit more, not that it gets translated over here, but there's a lot of the times where, Eastern animation, the moment's transported over here, we take the narrative of we can make this because we're translating it whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
That dude in a dress? No, that's
a
very feminine, that's a woman who's just a little bit more masculine than we think. An example of that would be, there is an anime of it, but it's mainly a game. It's Guilty Gears. There's a character who, I believe they do show up in the anime of it, but their entire character is they're a boy dressed as a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most, if you're not paying attention, and
you think
it's just a woman, and
yeah.
I believe in the U.S. they did try for a second to be like, no, that's just a nun, it's just a girl, and it was no, it's not. but I don't know. I think that some animes and some Eastern cultures, even though over there it's a lot more restricted in maybe their social standings, there's a little bit more freedom in their animation because I look at all the crackdowns where we've gone from, frying pans and baseball bats as a normal to being oh, we can't show that to kids.
Yeah.
And meanwhile,
it's
a weird turn, but meanwhile, anime is just let's ramp it up.
Let me show you, cutting off 10 body parts out of nowhere.
And I mean, like, that's not even just the adult anime.
Yeah, the kid
that
anime.
That is like the kid stuff, which is
My Hero Academia.
They actually show blood on like Disney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even not just like any other non-adult animation project, they do not show blood. If it's not explicitly for adults, like TVMA or NC-17, if it's TV-14, you're not gonna get any blood in any animation project because they know a kid might stumble upon that, which is just always weird.
But the weird thing about it is there are a few rogue, like, you know, Western animations. I'm thinking like Gravity Falls.
I'm thinking
Owl House.
Oh,
if they know they are like on their chopping block of last season, we're not getting renewed.
Yeah.
They hit hard.
Yeah.
Like a great example would be Gravity Falls.
Yes.
Like 3-part season finale.
Yeah.
That hit in such a way that's just like, this isn't for kids anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that show really was never meant for kids. They just got picked up by
yeah.
Disney, and Disney did the, what did we get ourselves into?
See, but they allow them to finish, though. Like Owl House.
Inside Job.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Owl House falls to the, I think they started hinting at, not even hinting, just full on, just saying things that goes kind of, Disney can't say it's against their full viewpoint, but they can be like, oh, we can't show that to kids because parents.
Right. And I think that's the thing, too. Like, it's not even kids or even just, like, anyone who's offended. It's just, like, some random parent. It's not even most parents. It's just, like, a random mom in Idaho who's like, I do not care for this.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, if you really think about it, it's where do you think that's gonna go? Like, is our media in the West becoming so conservative that even like the most benign of, like, I'm thinking the reboots of Looney Tunes, where it's just like they don't do the hammers, they don't do the running into walls, they're, you know, they still do Bugs Bunny cross-dressing, but
now it's a blatantly a joke.
Yeah, now it's not even just like, oh, this is a joke, but it's, you know, actual putting effort into it. Now it's just this weird, what is this?
Yeah,
it feels so different. Like it's so much more mellow than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, that the bats and the hammers, and like it lost that that feeling that it used to have. And you said something about Gravity Falls, where it's like it doesn't even feel like it's a kid's show, but like look at the way it's animated, right? Like something about Western animation that puts it apart from Eastern animation is the way they animate the designs of their characters. When you look at all like the Eastern animated characters, now they're both supposed to be humans, right? Western and Eastern, but when you look at the Eastern animation, right, it's so much more realistic. And Western, even the adult animations, they don't look like actual humans. And even if it's like the smallest thing where it's like they have 4 fingers instead of 5,
it's that same face syndrome. Especially, I remember, what was it like? I had to be back in high school, so like 2015, 2016.
Universe, Gravity Falls,
Gumball, from Cal Arts body type or face type really just like has a chokehold on American animation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I 100% agree with you.
It's easy to draw.
It is easier to draw, which means it's probably easier to animate, because doing like 5 separate fingers, just doing this can take 10 times longer than just doing like 4 fingers like this, or you can't see, but
but no, I totally get what you're saying. And that's another thing that's, like, an obvious disparity between the two, is Western, unless it's a big budget thing, like a Disney animated movie, a CGI movie for Hollywood, the moment you detach movie onto it, all right, you're 10 times ahead of where you're going to be normally, but for just, like, your standard animation, the budgeting between, like, or even just the, like, effort put in, is so vastly different. Like, take for example, looking at, you brought up Spirited Away earlier, like the level of detail versus, I'm gonna throw this out there,
like the original Scooby-Doo series, those painted backgrounds, versus like the modern like Velma version of what we're dealing with.
That's such a good example. Like the difference between Velma now and the back then Scooby-Doo is absurd.
And then you look at like back then Scooby-Doo versus again Spirited Away, or even trying to pull up one that isn't just an obscure one. But
Charter?
Charter was good.
No, I'm talking about like the art style, how like everything was stationary and like painted backgrounds, which I think I will give Western Animation this. When they allow their creators to try, they can do some amazing stuff that I haven't really seen in the East. Except for like maybe one or two like indie movies, but like that Chowder style of just like that like stationary print even on the characters, so that when they're walking it kind of looks like different. And it's just like,
it's very unique. And you're right, you don't see that in the East.
One thing I'll point out, because we're bringing up like those stationary patterns, there is a animated movie, and
I think we might be thinking the same one.
Are we thinking Thief and the Cobbler?
Think so.
The one about the guy Tack, who carried tacks in his mouth and three golden balls.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's less scary than it sounds, but that was the entire point of the joke throughout that movie. But a great example would be that. And the weird thing is it was an incomplete movie that if you go on YouTube, there is actual art majors who have gone through, and animation majors and people dedicated who have taken what was originally put out, fully brought back the original like cell drawings that never got finished, like the still frame, like this is where I want that portion to be, and fully rendered it out.
Wow, was the movie that good?
The original was, I loved it because I wore out Blockbuster's only copy of it because I rented it that often. Again, dating myself with Blockbuster, but it's okay.
I was the line back then, so
me too.
I love Blockbuster. But you know, the artist, I believe, either passed away or dropped out of the project. I can't remember which off the top of my head. The studio basically took thousands of frames and said, no, we don't need them. And, I mean, thousands of frames could also just be 10 seconds worth of animation.
But that 10 seconds really can make a difference in
a
scene.
And they did thousands of frames just gone. And not just, like, you know, a couple of scenes. Like, a good portion of what he wanted, even, like, I don't know. It was watching the two, but it had that it's what people like Chowder were taking that inspiration from, because it was such a stark, just like went out there with animation.
Flapjack too. The way they incorporate 2D and clay is really good.
Now, with Flapjack and with Chowder, they were all 3D. This was all hand drawn. And it is hand-drawn. All that detail you see in, like, Chowder of, like, these crazy animations and these crazy backgrounds, all hand-drawn. Every single frame. And it's what inspired all of those crazy things that comes from, like, Chowder and Flapjack. And then we just got rid of it.
It came back for a hot, well, not that particular style, but the dedication towards animation and art style when The Last Airbender came out, and when Teen Titans, the original, came out. And you can clearly see the Eastern influence on both of these two shows.
Both creators, you know, took
inspiration. And I'm glad that they didn't look exactly like, because you can, because both, it could have easily went where both, like, Robin and Aang could have just been two same face syndromes, but I'm happy that.
Well, I mean, the great thing about the original Teen Titans was the fact that not only were they so inspired by anime, I've watched interviews where they're just like, we saw those animes coming out, and that's what we wanted to get towards. they worked with, you know, studios outside in Japan. They not only that, but I believe, if I remember correctly, one of the producers lived in Japan for a period of time and wanted to bring that feel over to an American thing. A very, like, DC is a very, like, American thing, if you think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Superman.
Yeah, it's like, only in America can we take an alien and be like, that's a symbol of America.
That's our hero.
But
Truth, Justice in the American Way, I think, was his catchphrase in the earlier days.
Yeah. mind you, I think they were also doing that to parody off of Captain America, who was...
I thought Superman came first. Oh, wait, no, the saying.
The saying. I think when they brought out Captain America, I think they started using more propaganda.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think they made... Because they're like right in the same time periods of like we need a hero who's bigger than what, you know,
bigger than life.
Yeah.
Bigger than life. I mean,
yeah, that's one word for it. But yeah, no. One of the things that Teen Titans did really well was actually utilizing Japanese pop stars. Japanese. Mm-hmm.
The opening theme.
Oh, that's a classic. That's amazing.
Oh, no, that theme was amazing. And the fact that, like, every so often they would run the original Japanese airing of it.
I thought it was crazy for a minute. I'm like, why can't I understand
that? Well, and then...
I thought it was crazy.
You brought up Avatar, the fact that they used actual fighting techniques. Mm-hmm. From other cultures.
And it was consistent.
Yeah, it wasn't just like, they brought in specific martial artists from those different regions they wanted to kind of mimic, and they brought them in and they were like, would this work? Mm-hmm.
I think one of the creators, they had like the animators or like the artists, they will bring in like either Tai Chi or some type of martial arts specialist, and like every week or whatever, they will do like the exercises.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing those on the commercials of them talking about the show.
Yeah.
Those little short clips.
Yeah.
I will also
say this, because me talking about the same face syndrome in the West, I'm going to be a little controversial, but the East also has the same face syndrome.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
I,
with the
I'm not gonna
actually, no. The men, too. They all look the same. They all have this cookie cutter, like, insert yourself here for the dudes. And I remember I was watching some YouTube video about it, and I think they said that was intentional. Because, like, if you have, like, what was it called? Something mask. Like, I can't remember. But if you have, like, too much of a personality or, like, too, like, distinguished of, like, a character, then it's hard for that... for viewers to relate and or put themselves into the main character's shoes. So you can see in the West too, like any movie where the main character is actually not the most interesting one, but their sidekicks are, and they're the ones who are most quoted, like any of the big ones, like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. No one remembers, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Luke?
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, Luke Skywalker.
Skywalker's name.
I might argue your point on this because, I mean...
But everyone remembers Darth Vader and his quotes and, like, Yoda's quotes. But then Luke has, like, what, that one, like, what was it? No, or you can't be my father or whatever. Well, no, Luke, I am your father. Darth Vader, see?
That's Darth Vader's line.
And then, like, they also... That's what I'm talking about, like, And they even said that's why animated movies do so much better in the West, like get so much money, or even superhero ones where they have a mask, because it's so much easier for people or the audience to put themselves in that character's shoes. And I only bring this up because Eastern ones, the girls, a lot of them all look the same. The dudes look so boring. I'm so sorry. Like, don't get me wrong, like Naruto, Bleach. I don't know if any of you guys watched this one, but Gintama.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Oh my god, I never met anyone who watched it. I mean, they all have iconic, like, wardrobes and, like, all this other stuff. And they're great, especially Leagues Above the West. But I'm just saying that the East also has a problem, too.
Yeah. See, you're bringing those up, and my brain, like, the moment you brought this topic up, immediately went to, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. And just being like, yeah, you're saying everybody's got the same face, and then...
Yeah.
Point over. But I don't know. I just, there's a lot of like similarities in where not between the two of them, but like the practices they do of just like, you know, Wes, all the characters, like if you put them in a lineup, 9 times out of 10, they're going to look almost the same.
Yeah,
look at Jimmy Neutron versus, again, Gravity Falls. Like, put those two right
they're
next to each other. It's
Dipper and Jimmy are basically the same character.
Bodies.
That's the thing with Western animation. It looks so childish. Like,
mm-hmm.
even...
Well, because even when they're doing adult themes, they're going for, like, a very childish... Because we treat animation like it's a child's
Exactly.
Theme.
That's
yeah.
why I don't understand. Like, what?
Even South Park. Even,
I,
like,
I wanted to bring that up exactly.
That
like,
is just so... It's so adult, and it's not good, but it's styled like a kid's favorite
Family
thing.
Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Family Guy.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. That's why when I remember the Four Fingers, because, like, when I look at Family Guy, I just see, like, Peter's Four
it
Fingers.
It just drives you crazy.
Like, and like, Peter, like, they make him extra fat. Like, you know what I mean?
yeah,
like,
not extra fat.
Like, comically so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not on purpose. Like...
But... So, to kind of, like, start to lean into that, where it's going is, I don't know if any of you have watched, like, anything that's been coming off of Prime.
Amazon
but,
Prime?
But, yeah.
No.
Or off of Netflix or anything like that.
I've seen that one witch movie. I forgot the
witch
name
movie.
Of it.
Hocus Pocus?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
It was that animated witch.
Oh,
Little
Witch Academia?
Yeah. No, no, not that one.
Oh.
It was this... Oh, I don't remember. It's like, it was about this little, it's this black girl who lost her parents.
Oh,
and she was
Wendell,
a witch.
Wendell.
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 Yeah.
Wow. Wendell. WW.
It's a complicated name to remember.
Right.
I feel like they were trying to go for something so unique that would be rememberable, but I think they gave themselves a downside of too complicated of a name.
Too complicated.
Because, and that's something I feel like cultures do is they give their either their characters or their titles just a super complicated name and you're just sitting there going, I've forgotten this 8 times and you've said it 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying it right now and I'm probably gonna forget right after you say it. Which is bad because they were two of the characters, which made it worse because
wait.
How many times did they say it in that movie? And we still can't remember it.
Like, what was that name?
But, I don't know, Studio Laika, which is, I believe, the studio that did that.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at their characters, they all look the same. Like, you can tell an animation studio from the way, like, one character looks,
mm-hmm.
and you can find almost that same character in every single solitary one of their properties. But what I was going to say is there's a big trend of the West right now, West trying to imitate or exporting over to Japan and bringing it back and being like, look, it's different.
But then they do nothing with it, either story-wise or...
I don't know. You say that, but I'm thinking like Legend of Vox Machina.
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's so good.
I keep hearing that,
oh,
but I'm not
so
seeing that
good.
Amazon Prime.
I cried the entire time I was watching
really?
It.
Really? Is that good?
Mind you, I also watched the original YouTube run of the D&D show it's based on. So it was reliving trauma of crying during those scenes. Season 2 kicks you, like, right in the teeth of just, like...
I might look at it, though.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing, is it feels like you're watching an anime.
Mm.
It straight up feels like... And... They paired with a studio that I believe works. They did. I don't believe they exported to Japan, but I believe the studio has done some things in Japan. But, like, the level of the artwork in there, it feels like if they had gone with any American company that was going to give them, like, that, like... We're not doing chibi, but we're doing, like, our weird Americanized version
right,
that doesn't feel right. Because they've done, like, small animated videos on their YouTube page. But, like, even those feel better animated than these, like... I'm thinking South Park, who has, like, this big budget because people keep pouring money into it. But the quality just... stays the same.
You talking about the art quality?
Yeah.
I mean, it has improved over years.
True.
A little bit.
But you can only do so much with that art style.
They're trying to maintain that unique style. That's what that's what's unique about South Park. The low frames.
Yeah.
Like, it's very different from the rest of the Western animation, which I like about it. So I'd rather it stays that way.
Yeah.
But speaking of Westernization, like, you mentioned Teen Titans earlier, the original. Look at Teen Titans Go.
Okay, I'm gonna be that one outlier. I actually enjoyed
the show. No. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's
Western. I will say it for
I was really against it in the beginning, but then I was just sitting down watching it and I just got hooked. I don't know why.
It's the flanderization of all the characters for me.
Well,
that's what gets me.
The weird thing is I remember in the original run-throughs, they had, like, the chibi moments, they had, like,
the
low animation, and I feel like even if they had gone with that, it would have felt better. There were episodes where they were just like, you're being dumb right now just because we want you to be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and now,
but they made it more so, like, for girls, because that was the major issue that they had with the original one. Was like too many girls is watching it, not enough boys. They couldn't make toys and stuff, so they made this new one so they can make toys geared towards girls.
They said the same thing about Symbiotic Titan.
Yes,
and that was such a good show. I do not believe it.
But my thing is by saying, oh, we're making this for girls, and then like making all of the characters feel dumber.
Right.
Like, is that them saying, like, oh, if we're making animated cartoons for girls, or if we're making anything animated for girls in mind, the characters have to be dumb so that girls can relate?
I just feel like that's the direction where Western animation is heading, and I'm not really enjoying it.
We have voice actors who are in our animated series. Like, we're looking at them, and then we're hearing them. And I'm going to point out the elephant in the room of Matthew Mercer. That man's voice, you can pick it up in like
it's so amazing. It's
I'm
so
gonna
good.
Say
it's
something
everywhere. It's it literally is everywhere. Yeah.
I'm gonna say something that I feel as though the room will agree with. Regular actors should not be voice actors.
Exactly.
Yes,
I agree.
Stop.
I don't
like this trend. I love
work.
Beyonce.
Oh, she's horrible.
They're two different worlds.
I love Bey. Please don't come at me. But that her voice is just I kept expecting her to sing Single Ladies.
Okay. How about, if we're going to talk about that, in the current, not so distant future, and I'm dreading it, and I'm waiting for them to recast it, Chris Pratt as Mario.
Oh my god, I forgot.
We all forgot about him. But somehow, now I'll point this out, I don't know if this is just because of the type of person he is, we've got that situation of like, people who should not be voice actors, who are just regular actors, versus Jack Black as Bowser. And it works.
Because that guy
Jack
is
Black
something
is
else. That guy is something else. Okay?
No, because Jack Black actually commits to it.
Yeah.
And I feel as though a lot of these other actors who are just regular like live action actors don't commit as much as like voice actors do, because voice actors either have the experience or they actually go to school for this.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas just regular actors, where they're used to emoting with their face and body language and focusing on that, not so much their voice, it's like a real difference. I don't think people really understand. So when they say, oh, well, Beyonce's in this and Eddie Murphy's in this, I'm like, I don't.
I'm gonna fight you on that because Eddie Murphy as Mushu.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
That's different. Eddie Murphy. I'm pretty sure Eddie Murphy played to his strengths, and I think that might have been more so the writing and the directors than Eddie Murphy himself. I love Eddie Murphy as Mushu, and as Donkey. Wait, was he Donkey?
He was Donkey.
Okay.
He was
okay.
Donkey.
Okay.
No, you can't use Eddie.
True.
You cannot use Eddie Murphy as a fall because Eddie Murphy actually does the same thing Jack Black does, where he commits.
You can okay.
Just
then,
like any, I will die on my hill of everyone in Mulan was perfect.
Yes.
Honestly, it was great. Yeah.
Then Chris Evans, just like a random like big name,
mm-hmm.
just putting that slapping out on an animation project, it's just like it does nothing. Especially because a lot of these animation projects are geared towards kids. If I was 4 years old, I don't care that Chris Evans is his voice.
Yeah.
Well, and then look at that versus again, gonna bring it back to Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
They only hire voice actors. They don't use just big names to have a big name.
But this goes back to what we were saying before about how animation is treated as a genre here in the West,
uh-huh.
whereas it's treated as a medium in the East. And it's so weird. I want to say it's the infantilization of kids, but they're kids, but kids, just because you're a kid doesn't mean you can't handle serious subjects.
Yeah.
And even like the Last Airbender, they dealt with war and genocide. And that was an insanely popular TV show.
So I don't know how many of you watched the really weird CW Scooby-Doo however many year anniversary that came out like mid-pandemic that was weird. Mm-hmm. So it was the precursor to, it was like the last thing that was besides like the straight to, not even DVD, straight to we could not find them anywhere in the world, movies that would air in Cartoon Network once and then never be talked about again.
Scary God movie.
Oh, I loved her.
You never
watched
it.
Oh my God.
Please
tell
her. Cartoon Network. Before we go anywhere further.
Cartoon Network. Most of the stuff.
Before we go any place else, we are sitting you down and we are making you watch these.
I really need to catch up.
The Grim Adventures of Billy and
Mandy. Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Loved it.
Okay, yeah, I watched
it. That was the show. I'm so mad at how they did The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Oh.
If you don't know, they had six seasons, I think. And then like they had a Halloween special.
Oh, I love that.
Where they were going to do a spinoff with one of the other characters, Erwin. And it was a good special too. But then out of nowhere, Disney decided to cancel it because Cartoon Network was coming right at the time when they do that CN Real stuff.
Oh.
So all the live action TV shows. So
that's not talking about those. That's when I stopped watching Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. That whole era, I didn't see none of it.
So that era was directly lined up with Nickelodeon's era of same level of weird cancellation policies. Mm-hmm. Now, American companies have weird cancellation policy. So examples would be Invader Zim. Invader Zim was canceled because it was expensive and because they marketed it wrong.
That was a good marketing show, has such a strong hold on American companies when it comes to animation.
So I mean, yeah, that's what they spend half their budgets on.
Yeah.
Because
they expect to make that money
But Nickelodeon went through so many different, like, they only air one season of a lot of shows. Like, they just cancel.
Yeah, because they marketed wrong, they put things at weird time slots.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at that cancellation where it's like, yeah, you had issues with marketing and promoting and everything else. That's on you. Disney has a cancellation policy that was in place.
Three seasons only.
For the longest time, Disney had a policy. You could not have any more than three seasons of an animated show.
And I think they still follow it to this day.
Pretty much. Because if you look at most animated shows from Disney, it's after the third season and they're canceled.
Yep.
Kim Possible was the only show that managed to break that tradition with a fourth season because of backlash. Mm-hmm. Now, thinking towards future with HBO's cancellations of everything except for weirdly enough Thelma, which is what should probably be canceled. Again, haven't watched it. Watched the trauma happening from it. But
let's just take a moment. Who is this show even for?
No,
I don't know.
Knows?
The jokes are just so bad.
The way that this show is being marketed and the way that even some people are talking about it, it seems like it's going to be like this progressive show wherever. It's not, first of all. They're making I want to give like Mindy Kaling a pat on the back because the way she unified both conservatives and progressives into hating this show so much, it's quite the talent. Because she takes such, like, the writers take such, like pimp smack the left and the right to a point where it's like,
what I can say about it, as somebody who's not watched it because they don't have HBO Max, and not watched it because I strongly refuse to, because that's just trash in my childhood right there. There is, like, a weird, they want this to be like they wanted this to be a different show and needed something to slap on it to get people. We have, like, in the West, we have this thing about, like, grabbing a character, be it Scooby-Doo, Mickey Mouse,
SpongeBob.
We grab those characters, and it's like, this is our comfort character. We can put anything on it. And people are going to be like, yeah, I love that. That was the hope. Was they were hoping to get something in between.
I just need to say this. Because I'm glad you touched on that, how we grab onto these characters. And I think it's because the way that American animation has done is that, like, SpongeBob and all these other shows, they never truly end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they grow. They either grow.
The creator himself wanted it to end SpongeBob, though.
What you said before, like, how they're allowed to change. And that's what I think that nostalgia comes from for, like, a lot of American companies, is that, A, the status quo never truly changes, and then, B, it goes on for so long that that's why it becomes a comfort, where in the East, at some point, something changes, something gets revamped, something stops.
Well, I mean, like, he went back. He, like, circled back to the more round, fleshy tones.
Yeah, he did. It's super weird. Like, even, like, their noses and their
mouths.
Yeah, they
disappear.
They're so weird.
So
but yeah, no. I mean, we're talking. Technically, we're supposed to be future, but you know, nostalgia trips. We all love them.
Which Disney love doing.
I mean,
the future of Disney live action remakes.
Remakes
that are not
said
good.
That leads me to my second point. In the East, these remakes. I don't know if you guys ever seen. I can't even pronounce it, but I'm gonna try. I can't even say Dororo or something. It has to be R's and O's for me to say all at once.
No, I know exactly what show you're talking about.
Have you seen there was one that came out in the 60s. And then the newer one that came out in like 20.
The one I seen.
Yeah, the more edgy one.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's so dark.
It's like they were from Fast.
But if you've seen But if you've seen the original one that's made in the 60s, it's hella campy, but also really dark at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, ironically got, like, the art style super changed because the artist was like, I finally get to have a voice? What do you mean I can tell you how this is supposed to look? But that's the thing, is, like, why do we find it in, like, Western animation, like, oh my god, you're revamping this again, it's getting another art style change, we all hate this, it's the same story.
I feel like because there's no balance. And
it's
just
because Disney was doing it beforehand, and it was okay, like, we had a lot of old stuff, and they revamped it for us. It's just now, it's like, they're not coming out with anything original.
Like, they added new stuff, and they added, like, more plots and made it more coherent in comparison to the 60s anime.
But no, like, I don't know, like, small animations feel so much better than what we have been getting from big corporates.
Because
like,
there's passion.
And
then
they have control over what they're doing.
And they're catering to their audience. They're able to cater towards their audience, no matter how small or how niche it is.
It's about commitment.
Yeah.
It's about commitment, yeah.
I'm almost, and you're seeing it a little bit more, like, smaller companies are getting picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we may be seeing, like,
a renaissance?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that the future is less of the pure stupidity that has been coming out of big, like, Western animation, where it's just like, I've seen the show. I know exactly the plot of this because you've done it 8 times. Or I've seen this show and you've plastered another, like, beloved thing, Thelma, on top of it because you think it's gonna sell and it's not working. And I'm hoping things that are like the Titmouse Productions, Hotel, Legends of Vox Machina, like, and the Mighty Nein, because that just got announced. I'm hoping, like, that's the renaissance for us, like, that we're gonna see, like, we're gonna start maybe competing with those cool animes that keep coming out. We're gonna see, like, our indie projects become.
Let's talk about something else going on with that. Rick and Morty. And I will say, because Rick and Morty has gotten, like, a lot of hate. Some of it deservedly so, especially with the recent transgressions with one of his co-creators. But I'm going to focus on the writing. We're going to leave that part alone, the writing. Whereas before, Rick and Morty kind of followed the same plot of like a lot of like Western animation shows, mm-hmm. where it's like the case of the week procedural, like every episode is a new thing. Whereas in the later half, like after season 4, I think, it became not more so canonical or serialized, but it became like there was an actual development in all the characters. Yeah. Well, more so there was a development in the characters. While there wasn't an overarching plot really, the characters grew. Like, they weren't the same. Oh, like, if you look at season 6, Beth, she is totally different than season 1.
But it's still like a background plot. It's not there in your face, but it's an overarching plot.
As somebody who's seen it again, like, from the memes, from the, like, few pieces that get aired, I thought you were going to say something about, like, the weird Morty clones. And I was just like, is that became like a thing?
That was a whole plot.
Yeah, that's like, they have like this whole universe, right? Of like Ricks and Mortys. Mm-hmm. And
I hate everything.
And then there's like a whole Republican stuff. Yeah. And they got aristocrats and leaders.
I feel like if you're not into like sci-fi, you're not.
No,
like,
see,
especially
I love
like 80s.
But that makes it better. Like having that plot in the background obviously really juices the story. Actually has, like, you look forward to something. Because if you just have the episodes with no overarching plot, then
it gets
you have nothing to look forward to.
It gets
I mean, that's why I'm surprised, like, Family Guy and, like, South Park and all of those. Like, the only thing I knew about South Park for the longest time was Kenny dies. That's your overarching theme of Kenny dies.
It's actually great because he actually stopped dying as often because it got boring.
Well, I will say, like, South Park and, like, well, South Park... There is not an overarching plot.
It's
but
actually a plot. Every season, it's a plot.
But South Park is more of a critique of pop culture. Mm-hmm. That's why it stays around, because pop culture will always be around.
Yeah.
But Family Guy...
It's the older generation that's keeping it alive.
Yeah, that Family Guy, I have no idea why it's still on. American Dad, I can see why it's still on, because that's also a critique on particular subgroups of pop culture. To pivot from that point, I just want to talk about Total Drama Island.
That's something I remember.
That girl ran the gauntlet. She was the moment. I swear to God, we could have a whole podcast about Total Drama Island.
Yes.
Especially like the earlier seasons.
Yes.
That was peak kids animation.
It really was.
Wasn't scared to be a little bit more adult. Where that scene where Lindsay cussed out Heather. Peak kids animation.
Child animation.
We want children to watch.
See, but that was back in the golden years of
Cartoon
Network. Those were early on.
Personally, I don't think we're ever going to get back to those.
No,
that's never.
It was a lot of diverse with the animation styles, with the different plots, the shows, everything was different.
But see, now that's why I'm saying, like, the smaller companies that are coming out of the West, I think that's where it's going to be.
It's just that there's a balance. And then, like, also culturally, like, even their grossness has a context to it. But I feel like a lot, like, especially American animation or just TV shows in general, there is no context. It's just
do it for fun.
Yeah.
They do it because A, they're usually marketing it towards adults, and with adults they can do more stuff. So it's just like, oh, I'm gonna do it just because. Like, oh, I'm going to.
There's a shock factor.
Yeah, they do it for shock factor.
It's and that is it. That is their one gimmick, is how shocking can we be and see how long we can get away with it.
But like, you can be so dumb, like. Like, Velma, the opening scene was cockroaches humping each other.
No, the whole teenagers naked for most of the opening was just...
That's a lot of American TV shows.
I mean, yeah, she's
teenagers,
though... No, I'm not excusing them. I'm saying
Well, that is a lot, which I do have an issue with, too.
My thing is, okay, especially because it's animated, but even, like live action, too, you could easily take these teenagers and put them in college where everything that happens makes way more sense because now, A, they're of age, and B, they're left alone to their own devices where it makes sense why their parents are on their backs 24/7.
Where can we draw a line between what is considered safe? Where is the line between what we can handle what should be handled, and is it only cultural?
I feel as though that it's, A, it's cultural, because what we deem appropriate is just going to vary based on culture. So that's first off. Second of all, I feel as though whatever we can do in live action can be done in animation. So whatever deemed safe for live action to tackle on can be deemed safe for animation to tackle on. I mean, look at BoJack Horseman. That would have been considered taboo back in the early 2000s to talk about mental health and all this other stuff that it tackled.
True.
Okay. So, but they handled it with care. Like, this wasn't just like a punching bag.
Right.
Or whatever, or just to excuse the main character's action. This was actually like, it was treated as what it was. So I think that's the baseline going forward, especially for Western animation, is that if you're going to do something, do it because this is who this character is, not because, oh, this is X, Y, and Z or whatever. Like Velma, like with all her trauma, like supposed trauma that she had. I only watched like a couple of clips and like one episode.
It's her trauma of her mom going
insane. Like her mom, that's some like real, like abandonment issues is a real problem that can be really in depth and really nuanced.
But they don't play it as abandonment issues. That's
exactly. They play it as a joke and they just do it as an excuse for her
to be
a jerk.
An ass.
Yeah.
So many shows now, they feel so empty. Like there's no purpose behind them.
They just do
the
stuff to do stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm saying with Velma, why it was so bad, because like, they put all these cringy jokes in and they try like to make it funny for the people, but like it's not enough story behind it to make you feel for the characters, even if it's an adult show.
And that's why I'm saying resurgence we're gonna see is through smaller companies who don't have to worry about an IP.
I just can't emphasize enough how funny they try to be in the West, especially the West. The East, they kind of nail it. I'm not gonna lie, they're gonna be funny most of the time.
But, yeah.
Sometimes
I mean,
they try hard
well,
as well, but like
Love is
more
War.
The West.
Love is War. Have you seen it?
No.
I've heard it.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
I almost died the other day watching it. It's hilarious.
But, I mean, sometimes those jokes that don't land are things that are specific to that culture that we just don't have that frame of reference.
Also,
true.
The jokes, I feel like jokes come from the characters, not from the writers.
And
if
also,
you establish these characters,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they do something stupid or say something funny or whatever, it has to make sense for that character.
You know what? It's really funny, especially like when there's like a character that's usually serious and then they break character a little and they do something fun. That's what's funny.
Yes.
Not like this character just always dropping one-liners, making these trash
But that
jokes.
Can be funny too. There's this
Well, it
theme.
Depends. You have
yeah.
to execute it well. It's not
but
like you
do
that
theme,
every
like
character.
The, there's the straight man, the wild card,
mm-hmm.
and then a third one. But if there needs to be a straight man to always react to that wild card.
Right. And I feel like...
Oh, no. Straight man, wild card, and the funny man. There needs to be a straight man to react to the funny man. And the wild card, you never know how they're going to react. They
yeah.
And I feel
man.
Like Western animation has lost, like, the straight man. Everyone's either
just
the funny
fun.
Man
yeah.
or the wild
it's the
card.
Flanderization,
exactly. That's
the flanderization
which
of characters.
Teen Titans Go is a good example.
Perfect.
There's
yeah.
nothing but funny characters. It's not a serious character at all.
Robin and Raven used to be the serious man. Starfire and what's his name? Beast Boy used to be the funny man, and Cyborg. And then Cyborg was kind of the funny man too, but he
I think
was the
Starfire
wild.
Yeah,
was more was wild.
You never knew how she was gonna react. Yeah,
actually, no, Starfire. Yeah, because she's an alien. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah. So yeah, she was a wild card, but Cyborg. You know, Cyborg was also more serious too. Cyborg was more serious.
Mm.
Beastman
is a different thing. We're not bringing up Beastman because
combined,
that's trauma.
Beastman,
I combine characters. Anyway, Beast Boy was definitely a funny man, but they all played off each other. You can say the same thing with like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they're,
that's
they're
true.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
There
you
was,
need that balance, and that's
yeah.
what Western.
They miss that balance now.
They're not playing to the characters. They're playing to the writers. The writers are making the jokes, but they're not realizing that. Fred, who was this rich guy, would never make a joke about being, I don't know, poor. Well, no, depending on how he executed, but like make this weird joke out of nowhere about being poor and having to pay bills. That's just not his thing. He will make a joke about having to pay his mom or his mom not giving him enough money for allowance for his Audi. That makes sense for a character like Fred if that's the route they were going to take with him. Like, if you're going to critique like the wealth or whatever in America and use it through Fred, do it right. Commit. Make those deep nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still make jokes out of it. I just don't understand, like, and this is a problem in the West. It's a severe problem in the West where they have the idea, but then they let it go because it's so much easier to just do a stupid joke.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like,
without the context of the character.
Like, we love a stupid joke. We hate complexity. Do we want to wrap up with any final thoughts?
Yeah.
Or
let's just go around and see what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
You know, I'll start. So, like with Scooby-Doo, I think was a great example. Like, how there were actually a lot of points where Western animation really, like, it shined. Like, it was really good. Like, for Scooby-Doo, all these plot points with Fred, and every character had their own story. But then, like, as of late, it's not as good. And we kind of need to steer back and get back on track with that, or else it could become a downhill spiral kind of thing where all the shows just become really stupid and painful to watch, even with these jokes that just kind of amount to nothing. And the point of, like, these animations is they're supposed to be a medium, right? Mm-hmm. We want to convey these stories, and it's not just it's a lot more than just the jokes and the laughs. Like, we want to feel something as well. And that's what animation can accomplish so well, because you can display emotions that real acting can't actually show as much. So that's for Western. For Eastern, for the future of Eastern, they also follow a template like the Western shows do, but they're kind of different. Like, each anime, each show, it has differences to the point where it's like, it's not as repetitive, but it looks like it's becoming better. That's my conclusion.
For me, for Western, I feel as though we should really step out the box and stop doing these cookie cutter character designs, even though the Eastern, they do it, but they still have a little bit more variety than what we have. And also, like, with shows, with the randomness that happens every episode, we should start doing more plots. Like, yes, it might be funny, but we should treat it, again, like a medium. Like, we should treat it like movies. It should have a plot. It should have, like, give me a reason to watch it. For Eastern, again, I think they're pretty good. I think they're still going in the right direction. I mean, I wouldn't really change anything about it. It's pretty solid. I mean, they need to bring back certain, like, Soujin. I think that's the romance anime. Because I remember they don't make a lot of romance. Like, they stopped making certain genres. Like, it's a lot of shonen animes now, which I feel as though they should bring back some of, like, the older genres that they had, because I feel as though it's just lacking. But that's my...
Well, for me, I think Western animation is in this particular spot where I wouldn't say it's the point of no return, but it's definitely facing a identity crisis of who do they want to be, and who do they want to become? Because who they are and who they're trying to be kind of seems like two different things. And while I can say that Eastern animation has a better foothold in that retrospect, it also has its problems too, especially with how it regards its artists and animators, which we really didn't get a chance to touch on during this podcast. But I don't know. I just think Western animation is in this particular spot, especially when you look at it in comparison to Eastern. So I hope that Western animation finds its own voice, because they do have moments of brilliance, like with BoJack Horseman, Arcane, even Inside Job, or Love, Death, and Robots, where they let the artists and the storytellers tell their story and show their art. I guess that's my takeaway.
That was guest Kiana Freeman, Tiara Stamps, and Ali Sablini. I'm Catherine Warden, Editor-in-Chief of the Mirror News, Henry Ford College's student newspaper. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on the future of animation. Thank you for listening.